Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the Lord's House this Easter Sunday as we celebrate the risen Christ. As always, we want to encourage everyone to please sign the friendship register at the end of the pew and pass it down the row to your next door neighbors. If you're a first-time visitor with us to Berry Christian Church this morning, we'd like to say a special word of welcome to you, and we'd like to honor your presence with a small gift that we will bring to you where you're seated, if you'll simply raise a hand to let us know where you're seated at. Any first-time visitors, please raise your hand. All right, I see a few over here and over here. Awesome. Welcome, folks. If anybody would like some additional information about our congregation and ministries, there's an information sheet that you can fill out and place in the offering plate toward the end of the service this morning. Please keep an eye on the order of worship as we will be asking all the children to come forward here in just a few minutes and assist with the flowering of the cross while the congregation sings the four hymns listed in the bulletin. We are grateful for everyone who made contributions for the over 1,000 flowers that we're going to be using today. A list of the names for whom those donations were made in memory or honor of is printed inside your bulletin. Please make note of the flyer explaining that our Easter offering supports the general ministries of the Christian Church. Envelopes are available in your bulletin if you wish to participate. And ladies, please check out the information for the Ladies' Spring Tea, which is coming up on Saturday, April 14th. Please also check out the announcements concerning the CWF regional meeting on April 26th and the June service project that are mentioned in the bulletin announcement page. Do we have any other announcements this morning? All right, I'd like to invite Andrew to lead our call to worship.
Please rise for the call to worship. Let us give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This fills us with a living hope, and so we look forward to possessing the rich blessings that God keeps for his people. He keeps them for you in the heaven, where they cannot decay or spoil or fade away.
And may we bow in prayer. O God of resurrection, we come before you this day rejoicing in the promise of new life that this day offers each of us. Christ is risen. The world around us is different today because of this. What a wondrous gift you've given us this day. You've shown us once again that nothing can defeat your love for your people. All of our suffering can be redeemed and transformed by the creative power of your Spirit. Awaken in us, O Divine Spirit, the joy of this morning. Awaken in us the wonder and awe of discovering your presence in our midst. Free us from all that is dead and from those things we need to leave behind. Call us together as your people, where we can challenge despair with glowing hope and where we can live joyfully and confidently, even in the midst of the harsh realities of life. We give you thanks, Lord, for filling our hearts with joy, our minds with hope, and for leading us along as an Easter people. It is in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. Please take just a few moments to greet those around you and welcome each other to worship this Easter morning. Please be seated.
I'd like to welcome our children to come forward, if they will please, as we have the flowering of the cross. And our congregation will be, we will remain seated as we start the singing of the four hymns that you see listed in your bulletin, as our children help us to transform the cross, a symbol of death, into a symbol of new life. Let us turn to hymn number 234, Crown Him with Many Crowns. We'll sing all stanzas of each hymn, please.
Crown Him with many crowns, a lamb upon His throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but His own. Awake my soul and sing of Him who died for thee, and matchless King through all eternity. Crown Him the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave and rose victorious in the strife for those He came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring, and lives that death may die. Crown Him the Lord of peace, whose power a scepter sway. From pole to pole that wars may cease, and all be prayer and praise. All hail redeemed when, and round His pierced feet, fair flowers paradise extend, their fragrance ever sweet. Crown Him the Lord of love, behold His hands and side. Those wounds yet visible above, in beauty glorified. All hail, Redeemer, hail, for Thou hast died for me. My praise and glory shall not fail throughout eternity. Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave He arose, with a mighty triumph for His foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and He lives forever with His saints to reign. He arose, alleluia, Christ arose. Vainly they watch His bed, Jesus my Savior. Vainly they seal the dead, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave He arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, alleluia, Christ arose. Death cannot keep its prey, Jesus, my Savior, he tore the bars away, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, alleluia, Christ arose. Christ the Lord is risen today, and triumphs high, alleluia. Sing, O heavens and earth, reply, alleluia. Lives again our glorious King, souls to save, alleluia. Where your victory, O grave, alleluia. Love's redeeming work is thine, the fight, the battle won, alleluia. Death in vain forbids him rise, alleluia. Christ has opened paradise, alleluia. Has led, alleluia, following our exalted head, alleluia, made like him we rise, alleluia, ours the cross, the grave, the skies, alleluia. Thine is the glory, risen, conquering sun. Endless is the victory thou o'er death hast won. Angels in bright raiment rolled the stone away, kept the folded grave closed where thy body lay. conquering side. And this is the victory thou o'er death hast won. Lord Jesus meets us, risen from the tomb, lovingly greets us, scatters fear and gloom. Let the church with gladness hymns of triumph sing, for our Lord now liveth, death hath lost its sting. Mine is the glory, risen, conquering Son, and this is the victory thou our death hast won. No more we doubt thee, Prince of life. Life is not without thee, aid us in our strife. Make us more than conquerors through thy deathless love. Bring us safely, Jordan, to thy home above. Thine is the glory, risen, conquering Son, and this is the victory thou o'er death hast won.
So the cross has been turned from a symbol of death to a symbol of new life, right? Praise God. Praise God. And many, many thanks to our children and to the many adults who help with the preparations. We used 1,000 flowers this year for the two crosses that we have at the 8:30 and the 11 o'clock service. As we have the privilege to go before God in prayer today, a number of people to remember. First of all, Peggy Treese is going to be undergoing knee surgery on Tuesday of this week over at North Kansas City Hospital. And we know that's a bit of a journey, right, Peggy? Because her husband, Jerry, is just getting over knee replacement surgery. And June, we're so glad you're here from Colorado to help out with the family, right? So I certainly appreciate your presence here. We want to lift up, we've got a number of people who are actually in the hospital over at North Kansas City this week. Freddie Nichols is there dealing with some rather significant back concerns. Jean Kimmerling is there. And Grace just got out just as Jean had to go in. So that's been quite a journey for them. And also Betty Sillen is over at the same hospital dealing with respiratory concerns. We also want to be mindful of John and Dorinda Hoke. They attend our services from time to time and are not able to be here very often because of work schedule issues, but John is at the hospital in Florida, had to go through a surgery to remove a tumor behind his right eye. And at this point, they are waiting to see whether that is benign or malignant. So that's the next big step that they hope to find out by either Monday or Tuesday of this week. So again, please remember John and Dorinda Hoke in your prayers. And we lift up Evelyn Prusner's son, Gary. We lift up Sheila Killian as she continues to wait on word from Barnes Jewish Hospital in St. Louis. And Edna Williams was able to be here at the 8:30 service. And Lois Rapp is now home after being hospitalized. A number of other people we've certainly been remembering as well. But as we remember them too, we bow our heads for a word of prayer this morning. Merciful and loving God, we rejoice in the privilege we have to worship you this Easter Sunday morning. We recognize that as we assemble in your house, it is as if we've already been apprised of the book's ending. We do not feel the apprehension that must have burdened the disciples and other followers as they mourned the death of Jesus and likely also feared for their lives on the Sabbath after Christ's crucifixion. Yet in the dawn of that first Easter Sunday morning, the women, laden with hundreds of pounds of spices and oils in loving faithfulness to their Lord, began their journey to the tomb to pay their respects by completing the ritual of burial for Jesus' body. Certainly it was with heavy hearts and empty spirits, exhausted with distress and grief, that they trudged through the gray of the early morning hour. Yet what astonishment greeted them as they realized the stone had been rolled away and the proclamation was made by the angel, "Why are you looking among the dead for one who is alive? He's not here, he is risen." Profound wonder and joy filled their being as the reality of Christ's resurrection began to fill their consciousness. And yet it was probably not until they experienced the risen Christ that they gained a full appreciation for the truth that Christ had indeed risen from the dead. Yes, we know the ending, but as we gather for worship on this Easter Sunday morning, O God, may we also be filled with that same profound wonder and joy that in time filled the hearts of all who were blessed with seeing Christ in his resurrected form. And as each of us make our way through the days granted to us, may we also be so filled with the joy of Christ's resurrection that our lives are a living beacon of your everlasting hope for humanity. It is in the name of Christ that we celebrate the joy and hope of Easter, as we also recite the prayer our Lord Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, as we forgive our sins and we those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And Phil has our scripture reading this morning. Thank you, Phil.
Our reading this morning is from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. You may find that in your pew Bible on page 1075. So, if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory.
Thank you.
We've appreciated the color afforded us by the pansies that have been planted around the city in recent weeks. As the weather this Easter Sunday morning attests, we wonder if it isn't really too early to be planting flowers that appear too delicate to withstand the potential ravages of a morning frost. Yet while inquiring with the gardeners who were planting pansies outside the main entrance to the North Kansas City Hospital several mornings ago, they shared with me that pansies can withstand temperatures well into the 20s, and that they also prefer cooler weather. And that's why they are a favorite flower for early spring plantings. Who would think that something that appears so delicate can in fact be so durable while ushering in the first colors of the spring season? In a similar manner, many religious leaders who felt threatened by the teachings of Christ must have felt that simply having him eliminated by making a big fuss with Herod and Pilate would surely call an end to his threats. After all, what good can come from the tiny Galilean town of Nazareth anyway? Yet, as Christ's resurrection attests, Jesus was far more durable than his gentle and compassionate demeanor would portray. For our Lord Jesus defeated the ghastly nature of sin and even the coldness of death itself as he rose from the dead on the third day. This we celebrate as we partake of the bread and the cup of the Lord's Supper. And our communion hymn this morning is hymn number 225. We sing stanzas 1 and 3, I know that my Redeemer liveth. 225.
I know that my Redeemer liveth, and on the earth again shall stand. I know eternal life he giveth, that grace and power are in his hand. I know that Jesus liveth, and on the earth again shall stand. I know that life he giveth, that grace and power are in his hand. I know my mansion he prepareth, that where he is, there I may be. Oh, wondrous thought, for me he careth, and he at last will come for me. I know that Jesus liveth, and on the earth again shall stand. I know that life he giveth, that grace and power are in his hand.
And as we gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as David leads us in a word of prayer.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we come to the table, We remember Jesus' love and sacrifice for us. May we as Christians show his love and kindness to others. As we ask the blessing upon this loaf and upon the cup, we ask that we are filled with your Holy Spirit. For these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. Thank you. We express our gratitude for your tithes, which support the ongoing ministries of the Berry Christian Church, as we also thank you for your offerings that are being received this morning for the Easter offering, which support the general ministries of the Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, through the envelopes that you received in your bulletin. We offer a word of prayer as we receive these tithes and offerings. Michelle?
Let us pray. Father, please bless these gifts that we bring to your table. Help us choose to make a difference in our lives by helping the lives of those we touch. May these gifts be a source of comfort and serenity for another. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
May we stand? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Lord God, we pray that these offerings are used for your glorious purposes now and always. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. An American tourist was visiting a monastery in Europe when he happened to stop and talk with a monk who was standing in the open doorway of his sleeping quarters. Glancing in, the tourist noticed that the furnishings of the monk's humble room consisted of a simple bed, a small desk that had a stack of books on top of it, and an upright chair. Astonished at the simplicity of the room, the tourist asked the monk, "Where's the rest of your furniture?" To which the monk replied with a question, "Where's yours?" "Mine?" asked the puzzled American, a bit embarrassed to talk about his rather lavish setup back home. He deflected the question by saying, "But I'm just a visitor here. I'm only passing through." "So am I," said the monk. May we bow our heads in prayer. Gracious and holy God, it is our privilege to be here in your house on this of all Lord's days in which we celebrate your Son's resurrection from the dead. And we celebrate Paul's words as he declares in Colossians chapter 3 that we have been raised to life with Christ. For this assurance, we give thanks in Christ's name. Amen. This year, I decided to not so much focus on Christ's resurrection itself, because we've heard that story. We know that story. We affirm that story. Christ's resurrection is indeed a reality, a truism that we're willing to accept. But for you and I, that's not where it stops. For us, it's just a beginning. For we must ask ourselves, what is it that Christ's resurrection inspires us to do? Again, we focus on this text of Colossians. It's the third chapter, that very first verse. The Apostle Paul says, "You have been raised to life with Christ." Now, we believe that Christ has risen from the dead. He's risen. He is risen indeed. We acknowledge that on this Easter Sunday and every Easter Sunday. We believe the angel said to the woman at the empty tomb, "Why are you looking among the dead for one who is alive? He's not here. He has been raised." Remember what he said to you while he was in Galilee, that he had to be handed over to sinful men, but yet after his crucifixion, on the third day, he would raise to life. On Easter, we celebrate Christ raising from the tomb, declaring for all time his victory over sin and death. His resurrection is without question the centerpiece of our hope, the hope of our Christian life. And in believing this, we believe that we are born again, that, again, we had our first earthly birth, but we are born in the Spirit, a new life in spirit. John chapter 1, verse 13 says, "We were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God." James chapter 1, verse 18, "He chose to give us birth through his word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits that he has created." And as we believe in this second rebirth, this spiritual rebirth, we claim the scripture text of John chapter 3, 16, which all of us should indeed know, "For God did love the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would have" what? "Eternal life." The belief of eternal life is so ingrained even in our nation's psyche that the Pew Research Center last year determined that even today, 72% of the U.S. population believes in heaven and believes that they're going there. 72%. But many of the U.S. must believe that heaven is kind of like a free lunch program. Because if worship attendance is in any way an indicator of our thanksgiving for this gift of life eternal, then again, many people must think it's just a free lunch. 25% of our people say they attend worship every Sunday. You know, it's 23%. 23%. You know, when I was a child, I was a part of that 23%. I still am, I guess. But for me, even in early grade school and in junior high and the like, it was really something powerful for me to just be able to be present in the Lord's house. There was just something mystical and magical, wondrous about the privilege of being in the Lord's house. It's what I look forward to more than anything throughout the whole week. It wasn't school, wasn't what was going on in the classroom. It was the privilege to just be present, because there was something mystical and wonderful about learning about Christ, about sharing in that knowledge of what Jesus was all about. 11% attend worship almost weekly, 12% about once a month. By contrast, 25% seldom attend worship, 20% or 27% never attend. But yet 72% still believe there's heaven and I'm going there, right? Paul declares in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, you have been raised to life in Christ. Again, we accept this as true. But you know, that's not where Paul ends what he has to say to the people. We've been raised to life in Christ, and then there's another word, so what? So then set your hearts on things that are in heaven, where Christ sits on his throne at the right side of God. Keep your minds fixed on things there, not on things here of the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Your real life is Christ. And when he appears, then you too will appear with him and share his glory. You see, recognizing that we have risen in Christ inspires us then to take on a heavenly perspective about how we live our lives. We are to look upon the things of the earth as recognizing that they are indeed temporary. Mountains erode. The objects that we use, they wear out. Our bodies, they begin to wear out, break down, need replacement parts. Right? Right. We know that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, the Apostle Paul writes, our bodies are like tents that we live in here on earth. But when these tents, one text says, are torn down, we know that God will give for us a new place to live. New places that will not wear out, right? We've been raised to life. So let's take on that heavenly perspective. And let's take focus on the things that are of a heavenly nature. Well, what are those things? What are things of the heavenly nature that we can possess and make a part of ourselves every day? Well, the very first thing, folks, is that when you think, what are you going to take with you to heaven? First of all, you're going to take your consciousness. You are going to take all the thoughts of everything, every experience, whatever that has been a part of your life here on earth. Your consciousness will go with you into the eternal realm. In addition to that, the heavenly thing that we should take with us, that we're going to take with us and that we should cultivate, are the relationships that we have with one another, right? The bad and the good about our relationships, we're going to know about that when we get into the kingdom. Even as Jesus was in his resurrected form, he was recognized, was he not? By his disciples and others. They knew who he was. The wounds of his wrist and his ankles was self-evident. On his side was self-evident. But yet he was not in any way continually harmed or distracted by those wounds, was he? The wounds were evidence, but did not slow him down. He needed no cane, did he? So our relationships we will take with us into the heavenly realm. So let us cultivate that. Our consciousness, our relationships, and also our knowledge. As long as we are breathing, we have the privilege to continue to read the Word of God and to study and to focus on things that are of a godly nature, and everything that we learn about the Scriptures and God will take with us and will continue to unfold in the heavenly realm, will it not? But you see, Paul also tells us as he continues on in Colossians to get rid of the things of this earthly world that are destructive and that are harmful and that create poor relationships between ourselves and others. Look at the text of verses 5 through 14. Read through them later on today. He tells us, you must put to death the earthly desires that work in you, such as sexual immorality, indecency, lust, evil passions, and greed. Continuing on with verse 8, you must get rid of all these things, anger, passion, and hateful feelings. No insults or obscene talk must ever come from your lips. Do not lie to one another. For you have been, you have put off the old self with its habits, and you will put on the new self. Again, if you look in the book of Revelation, the text tells us that we will be clothed with our good works.
in the hereafter. That's a wondrous image to keep in mind, isn't it? That in God's heavenly realm, we're going to be clothed with that which we did, which was right and good and just and honest and pure and lovely, right? Those are things of the heavenly realm. Those are things we should focus on. It's those things that are right, pure, honest, just, holy. And as Paul continues in this section of his letter, he says, everything you do or say then should be done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as you give thanks through him to God the Father. Yes, on this Easter Sunday, we proclaim Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And that's why we have the flowering of the cross to celebrate Christ's resurrection. But as we celebrate Christ's resurrection, then the question for us is, what are we going to do about it? How are we going to live the lives that God has given us? We choose to live them, offering up praise, honor, and glory by everything that we do and say, and doing it with a heavenly perspective. And therefore, we bring glory to God's kingdom in the here and now. Again, the text worth remembering today, and as you dwell through this week of resurrection, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. You've been raised to life with Christ. You have. You've been raised. Not just Christ, but you. You have been raised to life in Christ. So, set your heart on things that are of heaven. Right? Do you know Christ? Is he your Lord and Savior? If he's not, today is your day to come forward and accept Christ in a way that I know your life can be transformed. Or maybe today is your day to come forward and become a part of the fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I want to extend the invitation to you as we turn to our hymn of invitation. It's number 222. Christ is risen. Shout Hosanna. Let us sing all stanzas 222. May we stand.
Christ is risen, shout Hosanna, celebrate his day of days. Christ is risen, hush in wonder, all creation is amazed. In the desert, all surrounding, sea is spreading, a tree has grown. Healing leaves of grace abounding bring a taste of love unknown. Christ is risen, raise your spirits from the caverns of despair. Walk with gladness in the morning, see what love can do and dare. Drink the wine of resurrection, not a servant, but a friend. Jesus is our strong companion. Joy and peace shall never end. Christ is risen, earth and heaven nevermore shall be the same. Break the bread of new creation where the world is still in pain. Tell its grim demonic chorus, Christ is risen, get you gone. Cool outburst and lass is with us, sing Hosanna everyone.
We thank you for being in the Lord's house this Easter morning, and we indeed hope this morning has been a blessing for you as you journey forward in your faithfulness to God in Christ. May we have our heads for closing prayer. Merciful and holy God, we give thanks for the day, for the morning, for the privilege to know as Christ rose from the dead, so also are we privileged to do the same.
But as we journey forward with the lives you've given us, may our lives be a testament of your joy, your glory, as we journey forward. It is with confidence that we move forward, knowing your Spirit abides with us. And for this, we do give thanks as we depart. Amen.
O Christ, the way, the truth, the life, be with us now, we pray. Direct our steps as we go forth to do your will this day. O faithful guide, renew our trust in love that does not fail, and give us strength to work and pray that peace may soon prevail.